Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Taisen empapu papeni ko nalira sana papula papeni ndalepo ye nalira sana papula papeni ndalepo Taisen empapu papeni ko nalira sana papula papeni ndalepo ye nalira sana papula Papeni ndaleko, eh nalira sana papula. Papeni ndaleko. Nanyo kwiro kwira ine kondelira. Nanyo kwiro kwira ine kondelira. Ese anjimi antwale kona inye pampa peko. Nalira sana papula. Kisika pembwa wandi ni kwisa waya Bijengoza wandi ni kwisa wangila Koto nyunyondo wandi ni kwisa waya Hazme sumba wandi ni kwisa wikalila Solomon jere wandi ni kwisa waya Jojo mwangaza wandi ni kwisa walubila Sana papula, papeni ndaleko. Nalila sana papula, papeni ndaleko. Hey, nalila sana papula, papeni ndaleko. Kesha fumineko Nashindika wanangi pamabwinga Domweishi wa fumineko Nashindiko gunangi pamabwinga Ngowinga wandini visa Weisa Ila sana pafula Isukuru limorine Eko otwa ile Nenshito imoine Eyo otwa ishiwa Imamu kufuwa ye nito no munani Amusumina ine wankana Nalila sana papula Besi pechi kuchikonde wandi wabagui Business imo ine Eyo twa chile Nakabito imo ine Eyo twa kwete
Good afternoon and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. My name is Roger Charlie in Okotox, Alberta, Canada. It is 12:03 p.m. Here in the mountain time. So we are ready to go. Lusaka, we're just waiting for Dr. Bayani to be ready. He has just arrived home, he tells me. So we'll be crossing over. He's on the line right now, but we want him to get ready. So for all our friends who are going to be with us today, we're expecting to have a very fruitful discussion under the title UPND Manifesto, 10-Point Plan for Zambia. So Dr. Bayani, I'm going to be connecting him back on the radio. It is Sunday after all, so some gospel music, and as we go, we can have some UPND songs as well. Before I do that, Brother Noel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Charlie. How are you?
Not too bad. I can't complain. That tells me my sound system is working fine. That's why I wanted to find out. Sometimes I talk to myself then to find out Dr. Muzanje is complaining. We can't hear you.
Yes,
so,
I can hear you.
Yeah, how is your Sunday?
No, my Sunday is okay. I just came back from church not too long ago. It's very fruitful.
Okay.
How was your Sunday?
My Sunday was good. I try as much as possible. I belong to this church, which is quite big. So they have services on Saturday and Sunday. So it works out good when I go on Saturday evening, and then have to just worry about resting at home on Sunday, especially when there is NFL football to watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's in about a month.
Yeah, but I've kept that tradition. Even when it is out of season, I just maintain it. It just works much better for me. 317. This should be a good man from Indiana. You were supposed to be watching Indy 5000. Is it 5000, Kevin?
Indy 500.
500? Yeah. Supposed to be rolling by now. It's all over TV.
Nah.
Okay.
It's not among my favorite sports, so I'm
okay, good.
I'll pass on it.
Yeah, I'll be crossing over to Lusaka in a minute. Are those indicating they want to say something? Let me say hello to them. 205-6893, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Ziambo.
Ziambo, how are you?
Ah, Winobino, Roger Shan.
Ziambo, are you Central Time or East?
I'm Central Time.
Okay, so you are still morning, I think. I don't know. 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. Okay.
So you're correct.
Yeah. Okay, I'll play another song when I come back. I'm hoping he says give me 5 minutes. Now it's almost 10 minutes gone. So I'll try and call him back and see if he is ready.
Zambian 5 minutes or American 5 minutes or Canadian 5 minutes.
Well, he said five minutes. We've given him 15, which is okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope we are not going to be rushing him, but we are on borrowed time on Zambia Block Talk Radio, so we cannot be take too long. I'll be back. Let's keep it a Sunday fever. Karen, yes, one.
Shama, 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 shama. Kanga, yesako yesu iwe.
Okay, thank you very much. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. This is a special program here on Sunday. We are going to be discussing UPND Manifesto, a 10-point plan, with Dr. Chole Beyani in Lusaka. To our listeners, we are transmitting live on Comet Radio 93.7 in Lusaka, those who are in Lusaka area. Those are going to be listening online. You are online on Zambia Block Talk Radio. My name, again, is Roger Chari. This program is sponsored by UPND America and Canada members. So welcome, everyone. A good number of you have called in the radio already. So we are ready. We are ready to go. Dr. Beyani, good afternoon. Good evening to you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
It's evening over here.
Yes, yes. It is lunchtime for me here in Western Canada. How are the campaigns going?
I think the campaigns have started pretty well.
Yes.
We are quite busy at the moment. And as you noticed, I was coming from the meeting of the National Management Committee to deal with a number of issues. But we are set to go.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, before we start, that's going to invite one of delegation leaders from the U.S., UPND, my good friend, Amsokotwane. Amsokotwane, can you just welcome Dr. Beyani before we and go full throat with our discussion this afternoon.
Dr. Beyani, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Madam Dr. Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
The connections on the phone will be gentle, will be kind to all of us.
Good, good. We are glad to have you on the program. Mostly because some of us here who do not live in Zambia don't really know some of the plans that UPND might have. So it is good that you're here so you can explain to us, people who live in foreign countries, what your plans are and the way to go forward. It also gives you an opportunity to explain to some of those people in Zambia who might not be able to have access to ZNBC or to movie TV. This way they can understand where you're coming from and what the plans for UPND are. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Mr. Dr. Beyani.
Welcome, and thanks very much.
Thank you. So we will go straight away. By the way, I think, like you said, Dr. Beyani, the campaigns have been good. Yes, there are reports of violence here and there, but the two main major parties, you are very committed to peaceful campaigns. We congratulate you for that. And please tell the followers, this is the way we can market our nation. Let's go to the 10-point plan. And I have a number of people have called in. They may want to come and ask some questions later on. But let's talk about the 10-point plan itself. Creation of jobs. You say in the 10-point plan, Dr. Beyani, this will be accomplished by establishing supportive environment for business that promotes investment, trade, economic growth, and diversification. Please explain to those listening live this afternoon what you are talking about and how this also is different, if any, from the current program being run by the PF.
Thank you very much. You see, Zambia is in an economic crisis, and I think people underestimate the degree of the economic crisis. However, the you know, the UPND and with regards to creating jobs and business opportunities, it is consistent with our manifesto since the founding of the party. Let me point out that the across Parliament on an economic debate. The people are prosperous for Zambia or and it's essentially the founding fathers
for the country and deliver us from the shackles of colonialism. The that we call Zambia today. And then we all allegiance, we owe gratitude to the MMD that built in the foundations of a multi-party democracy, which is what we enjoy now. Right? Now the third generation transition, if I may call it that way, lies with the UPND. And it seeks to deal fundamentally with the missing link in all Zambia's development programs. That is economic. And we're talking of economic development, not in a general sense, creating an industrial base for this country. So in so doing, you need to create jobs. This country has 60% of the population is under the age of 30. And they all, the formal sector only employs about 500,000 people. So really, without the fundamentals of business, when we talk of business opportunity, we are talking of development, to promote investments, to promote. Driving the country away from on copper economy and growing a much more diversified economy. An industrial plan cannot exist outside the context of agriculture. Whatever kind of commodity you might think of producing, whatever kind of industry, the basic raw materials come from agriculture. Our focus. We therefore believe business must be promoted because we find capital. Meanwhile, the people of this country have what we call resources in all their various forms, land, forestry, minerals, you name them, water. We have those resources. So you need an environment in which government provides a framework to improve and increase investment. We're not talking of simply foreign investment, as most people tend to assume. We're talking of foreign and domestic investment. We want to promote economic growth for our people, create this. All people can come out of school, can come out of college, and be able to go into business and create more jobs. And it's very clear that for us to achieve that, you need the business funds that can promote or the emergence of a new business class. And that, if you improve the opportunities, you improve growth, you improve the investment, all sectors, that will also increase trade. So those goods you produce must be sold and externally. Therefore, it will improve the trade within the country and grow and diversify. Our target, if I may emphasize, growth rate of 10%, sustained over 10%. It will take you 100 years to eliminate poverty and increase. So our minimum is 10% growth rate as a projection. And that's where we believe that if you can do that and you sustain it for over 10, 15 years, you most extreme forms of poverty by that end, because you would have created jobs, you know, through diversification of the economy, you would have created, employment, and by the revenue base would have grown to be able to fund some of those services like education, you know, and that, including infrastructure development. And I think that.
Okay. Gives us.
And do you want me to say anything else?
No. That gives us a good basis to go forward with our discussion. However, our line is cutting on and off. I'm not sure if there is anything we can do, either change the phone or there is a position which needs to be changed. Otherwise, we can continue the way it is.
Part of the difference, I live in Kafue.
The
network is not that good, but I think that's what's been the issue. The network system in the last 1 year, terribly so.
Okay, sure.
Surprised that we have sustained this conversation without a breaking transmission.
Okay. We will not touch it. We'll leave it the way it is. You have outlined, Dr. Bayani, you have outlined what is wrong and what is to be done. Those who are going to be selling your message, however, probably they will need to know how you are going to do it. Can you just explain to us very, very briefly, Dr. Bayani, how you are going to accomplish what you have outlined just now?
We also have an implementation plan. This is what I tell you and for and how he intends to do some of the things.
Sorry, Dr. Bayani, if I tried the 095 number, do you think it will be much better? Now, it is even cut now. Okay. That is, I think we are losing a lot of valuable information by having a broken line. I will try maybe connecting with 09095. There is just good information which is coming, and we need to capture that. Okay, give me 1 second, Msokotwane. I'll be coming back as I try to bring him back.
Okay. Please do.
Yes.
Okay, we are back here in Lusaka. Is it Kafue? We are in Kafue. This is my complaint, Dr. Behan. This is my complaint. How Lusaka is like, I don't know how many kilometers, and then we have this disparity in development. You can barely hear someone. Lusaka is. It is for another day. It is for another day.
Is it the transmission?
Yes. You were explaining how this will be achieved, how this will be accomplished.
Yes, I was explaining. So I was explaining, for instance, some of the savings you can make from government waste.
Oh, good.
Not the cost of cabinet, which I point at excess expenditure close to $3 billion. Which is about $36 billion a year. A developing country can to lose. So that is the kind of waste. Then we have a lot of waste in oil procurement. Our government ministers garnish a lot of the oil contracts. Inevitably, fuel could be brought down back to more than 40%. But that's also that you would free. You know, contracts, whether they deal with roads, hospitals, clinics, the so-called infrastructure development, which is a song sung in this country constantly. But let me give you an example. You see, you look at road construction. In Zambia, it costs 1 million kilometers of tarred road. In Botswana, right across the door from here, is $400 a kilometer of tarred road. Now, why should Zambia and Botswana be different? And the issue is corruption that you need to end and creating a better environment for contracting people and lowering the cost of contracts. So you can see straight away, if we're able to cut down the cost of construction a kilometer as opposed to $1 million a kilometer, there'd be on the country. This is the kind of money, all right? So our plan is we cut the waste in the contract, we cut the waste in fertilizer procurement, in energy procurement in terms of that is important. There's a lot of waste in that. It's about billions of dollars in the course of a year, right? This is the you can use to now invest and you reduce the collateral by other. You can you take away collateral, government can become for many of these loans, and you make sure that they are supervised. People who have no collateral, government loans and generate economic growth of development. Problems we have in this country is that we have we need to deal with that and change it. It's not that you can invest in hydropower, such as wind power, or the solar. To finance one time announced using import duty on these products. But empowering our people structure these technologies generate more power. By so doing, the cost of importation, we will reduce the power outages which are undermining economic in this country. I mean, the economic growth was in Zambia has been around 5 to 6% in the last 20 years. It has now come down to about 3-2 because of a number of things because of power. So we have to invest in power, but we must investment is domestically founded. We need to ensure that many of the contracts
that go, whether it's road construction or other forms of construction, even the procurement, for instance, for the mine and other, that many of them go to Zambia. Because by so doing, you will be domesticating capital.
Uh-huh.
What happens in these countries is that when you give a road contract, let's say it's worth $100 million, $60 million of those, and maybe you only keep 30 to 40. But if you, the contractual arrangement, so that even foreign investors who wish to invest also go into partnership with Zambians, in terms of contracting, you generate capital flows on the market. Invest more and expand their production for people. And by the same token, raise more revenue to improve expenditures on electricity, on health, and such areas. So this is the policy framework. We also want to ensure that not only by we don't get Zambians in the contracting, in the construction, but we want to ensure that we become partners in development. For instance, what we call smart partnerships, all right, that we pick from in situation. But there's absolutely no understanding of what smart partnership means in this country, or perhaps in many. We for instance, a Zambian mining license must have the license to land or raw material resources. The owner of who owns the license. With a Zambian partner, which you agree. At the current rates where we are putting in the construction is hemorrhaging out of the country. It goes out as foreign exchange. Fostering economic growth and development. We can even raise economic development, because growth is not necessarily synonymous with development. You need growth to develop, but you need that growth to be part of you. Who consume your crew must consume a large part of that growth. And then it's foreign business interests that consume. We need to change that so that we have a win-win situation for our people and for foreign business partners. But so essentially, we want to bring business environment, also bring confidence on the market. Zambia as an investor-friendly destination, we can encourage partners and friends in the diaspora to feel that they can come home, part time the red tape in land ownership and having licenses in various businesses. They can invest the money they're making out of the country back home. And no government really has, but I think you can see countries like Ethiopia, the energy sector. The Nigerians are investing in various sectors in their own country because the government creates an environment for doing so. So the best practices in countries like Ethiopia, Malaysia, India, and create a homegrown economic, that's about what we can do. But there are many other things that we can do.
Okay. Well said. Number two on the point on the 10-point plan, UPND says reduce inequality by growing the economy with a focus on lowering the cost of living, ensuring the food security, and increasing support for the disadvantaged. What we are going to find in the discussion, Dr. Bayani, is some of the things you have already outlined may come into number two and number four. If it has been answered, we can go to the next one. Do you want to address the question of reduce inequality I know Africa and Zambia. Zambia is not
the inequality issue.
Uh-huh. Yes, go ahead.
We can address the inequality issue by addressing some of the things that I've talked about already. When you grow the economy, increasing the quantum of capital or money, and the opportunities for business. The biggest difficulty that this country has, one of the biggest challenges, the cost of doing business in this country is very high. In this country, business friendly, you need to lower the cost of doing business, you need to lower the cost of living, you need to ensure that there's food security for your people. And that way, build sufficient resources to provide a support system for the disadvantaged, the youth, the women, the disabled, those that, for instance, orphaned children, whether single, double orphans. You need an economy. But to do that, you must grow the economy, the cost of living. The cost of living in this country has gone up by 100%. It's never happened this in the Chiruba years. And it's not because anything has happened. It's a function of mismanagement. Mismanagement and lack of vision and focus. I mean, what has changed? The price of mini meal was 35 in 2011, is now 85 and above. So everything has skyrocketed. That's not good for the job market because it means that the of the people in employment simply it has happened in this country. So we need to lower that. And how do you lower it? It's easy. Lower by generating more power and make the private sector to participate in power generation. Lowering the cost of production culture. We are committed, for instance, to ensuring that we support the farmers through some kind of subsidy. That subsidy should happen at the level of the production, fertilizer, agriculture equipment, seed in particular. Those things, the prices must come down, but you must, through the production, right? Through production. You must invest in the farmer. You must lower the cost of production at the farming level, right? Whatever your farm. That way, that reduced cost of production will be passed on to the consumer. The weakness of the calendar years and even the maize substitution arrangement under MMG to a large degree under the Patriotic Fund subsidy. Well, that you are subsidizing the consumer, producer. So in a way, the consumer, but you're not helping the producer grow. So if you lower the cost at production, you enable the producer to grow, whether it's in agriculture, food processing, whatever you call it, they'll be at that level. And to pass on the benefits. Once you do that, in line with the growing the economy, lower the cost of living, lower the cost of food, and generate sufficient to the source of food, water, and stay focused on delivering. We could take out poverty in 15 years. You should also be able to cut. See, part of that business is what we call improving competitiveness. Improving competitiveness means you make it easier to do business by cutting. And where does rent? It's in permits. And time frames for investments and
big step that requires approving anything that an investor. You also need to improve trade and transport. A trade transport system, a regular system that requires most of our goods and heavy goods move on the road. So those are the areas that we can to develop this country and what we might like to say, a poverty. We don't believe in poverty reduction. We believe in poverty. And I think that can be done with this kind of plan.
Okay. That is well
yes.
said. Before we reach others, I have the 10-point plan here, Dr. Bayan. What I don't see, however, is the participation by the rural districts or the provinces in the implementation of this. There's nowhere in the 10-point plan where it's maintained that part of the power you'll be sharing, say, with the districts or the provinces, to make it to make the work much, much easier than the current the status quo which we have right now. Why is that not mentioned in the 10-point plan, Dr. Bayan?
Yes, I think that is what we call good governance.
Okay.
This is a summary, but in a broader... we created a brief summary so that people are 60-page, 120-page. Our first document was 120 pages. We had to cut down to about 15 pages, but it's readable
okay.
for an average person. Because people don't read that large door.
No.
It lies on a good governance. Because, for instance, if you, for instance, the governance system, centralization, but thinking and the policy implementation at the local level. The provinces begin the kind of development agenda they want as opposed to. Of course, you provide the overall policy. So, but they begin to target specifically one.
Uh-huh.
We already now ask the current constitution allows for executive, which brings the municipal authorities, give them a lot of power.
Yes.
Strengthen that and even deepen it by creating political and economic planning centers in the that fit into the national plan.
Okay.
People have a sense of ownership for areas where they live, but also not just have a sense of ownership. They have an input in what it is they want for each of their respective districts or provinces, because it's very easy to plan sitting in Osaka that people in Shangombo, for instance, or in, or Zimba, one. But if you work with the people there through the local governance systems in developing those plans, then you plan that addresses the real needs of the people, as opposed to dreaming up plans, to plan, to dream what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Educating
mm-hmm.
that dream, it must trickle to communities where the people live.
Yes.
Who need the clinics, who need the hospitals,
mm-hmm.
who need education, right? So we need to turn around the land in the rural areas. They have become productive and even. And the major source of the promise is capital. Villages into productive centers, annual ceremonies, and harvest. That makes the land go better. Yeah. And this can be done through a well planning. We need to grow food year round. This origin. And that way, you dominate and make the people part of the prayer's development trajectory. If you don't do that, to fail. So that's our problem. Make sure that our people are partners. local governance institutions for planning and executing development plans. But that would require also creating expertise at that level, because the expertise at local has gone. We need to bring it back, bring in the various at municipal governance level in our development drive and project.
Sure. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio here in Canada, United States, and on Comment 93.7 FM. On discussion today, we have a UPND, Mr. Chole Beani, discussing with us 10-point plan for Zambia. There is no way, Dr. Beani, we are going to discuss all 10 of them. Definitely, that will not happen. I'm going to ask you the last one, which is the third one, and then I'll open the phone line to those who have called in who would want to ask one or two questions. There is just no way we could have gone in without rushing through them, and the entire interview will not probably even make any sense. So let's end on education and empowerment. You say youth, by ensuring better access to education, supporting vocation training, facilitating top-class university education. Please explain to us how, again, UPND will accomplish that, different from the PF.
Yeah, you see, of getting certificates and you've left high school and then you're college, we want to link to the development agenda, to the and the reproduction of new technologies. Young people to have skills, highly sophisticated, that are demanded on the market. Education system right now. Someone goes through, leaves home for what is now grade 12, with just a piece of paper, and there's absolutely no skill. So you need them in education. And I think one of the interesting things that the press are coming from years before they took power, it must become less academic. Have been developed. So it has taken the pressure, the new curriculum. The main thing is to how to implement it, okay? And is to create a technical wing so that you can teach new sciences and teach business at secondary school level. But then even in tertiary training mentally, to raise its quality instruction so that it's technology-based. I mean, for instance, I'll give you an example. That has about 7 to 9 technical secondary schools, right? Now, if we had a better, these should have been centers of excellence in this country, where young people come out with the skills in various things, scientific and technological fields. But you find you visit these so-called technical schools, the social science and the technical part of the technical part. It is if we need to restore technical schools to provide technical education in every field. Then the institutions that we call here that fall under TEVETA, that is tertiary institutions that provide technical education, whether it's technology, whether it's technical drawing, whether it's art, whatever form it takes, we need to sharpen those, improve their curriculum, begin to even retrain the teachers in those institutions so that they are at a competitive level. So that when you graduate out of any technical college, they will be almost immediately skilled in every discipline.
lacking, right, in this country. So the quality of education, too, really declined. The numbers of enrollments now in our schools in general, from primary to secondary school, right? But the missing dimension has declined. You open up, there are schools that are built that have no desks, instruction materials. This has to be dealt with. Around it, how do we financing? And the way to finance is to build it. Because you can't share poverty. You can't fund education and the skills training that we are talking about if you don't have the resources to do so. The failure of all governments has been a failure to deal with the economic questions, changing and making it dynamic and robust. We need to change that, because once you do that, you create more jobs, you create more employment, you improve the business environment, you have improved trade and industry, then you will build the resource base to invest in agriculture, that you teach it, you pay your teachers well, you build them better housing, you have water and sanitation available. We should stop this habit of building a school. You put one little ball for pupils and teachers, and you went to school all the way up to university, and you end up in a school that looks like a grade away from the village you grew up from. That must come to an end. But to do that, you need to grow the economy, to raise the resources, to invest in education. Also, we should also invest in healthcare. You know, that you're the health nation, because once you're the health nation, you're also the health workforce that can respond to the growing industrial base that you're building in the country. So education is very, very critical, because it is the only thing that empowers a young person. You have an education, you are also empowered to create jobs by going to two options here. One who wants to find a job, one who wants to go into business should be able to go into business. And by so doing, you building an education system skilled to understand clearly what they want to do, but also be able to locate investment opportunities and business, both investment and business opportunities available in the country. The system has a response to that. That's a response to the modern economy. That's a response to the global economy. To have that kind of education system, you need to raise resources to finance it. And the problem with the old government is that they make loud noises about improving healthcare and education, but because they failed in addressing the economic question, they have failed to deliver a better education. How do you explain the fact that 40 drop out before grade 7? It doesn't make sense. Fail a basic aptitude test in grade 5. This tells us the standard of education is very gone down. So we need to change that. Changing that must come with investments.
Yes. No, we are together. We are together.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is our view as UPN.
Yes, just a follow-up on education, and you've outlined it very well. Actually, in as far as the youth are concerned, how much investment is UPND committed to investing in digital revolution? Because everyone else is gone, Dr. Bayan. Everyone else is gone. When we are just tinkering about to see what is happening. Again, a child in Mporokoso, a child in Kalavo, no access to internet. No matter what we are going to do, Dr. Bayani, we are going to be we are going backwards as a nation. So, how much investment is UPND committing to digital revolution in Zambia, and how urgent is it on your agenda?
I think in modern economy, the 21st century, that is connected to industry without dealing with the digital revolution. You need to be able to have children in the remote parts of the country. And it's really, with a little bit of resource mobilization, it's not an impossibility to achieve that. So we are committed. We want young people to be fully trained in science and tech. That includes the digital. And because you can't have an education system that lacks the digital dimension. It's very clear that schools, for instance, lack basic computers to the internet. And that is the training and the skill to deal with the digital information age. Is a big, big gap in this country. So UPND is committed to address those things. They must be addressed. Because if you don't, the whole 10-point plan will not make sense.
I agree, 100%.
The analog system makes sense, whether in terms of communications or computers, in television, is gone. So that's an important linkage in the modern economy, by committing yourselves to ensuring that digital technology is available and is developed in the country. You know, we need to move away from merely importing, and we need to be able to begin to assemble computers, begin to make our own, build certain technologies ourselves, based on how other people have done it. So it's an important, we must produce it and not just import it. You know, but that's the only way in which you build a skills base for technology. If you import something, yes, we will have to import something, but I say we should begin to make them, manufacture them. And that would be the basis for economic growth. And that's my view on that one.
All right. Let me
the UPN is committed.
Thank you. Thank you for that commitment. And we'll hold you to it.
Thank
so
you.
Let me open the lines, Dr. Bayani, since we had the shaky start. We want to hear what others have to ask. Those who called in the first time, if you pressed 1 on your keypad and you don't intend to ask a question, please press 1 again. That way you are off the line for asking a question. And if you have called in, you want to ask a question, please press 1 also. It will bring you up my machine here, and it will show me you want to ask a question. Let me go to New York, Dr. Bayani. Mr. Msokotwane, our leader here, we're going to ask the first question. Banowe.
Yes. My first question, Mr. Bayani, is, as you know, now the world is moving into cleaner energy and safer energy. And what is being done about the electricity problem? Because now I think a lot of people are moving from electricity into solar systems. What is UPND planning to do about that? Because as of now, as we know, half the day people in Zambia don't have electricity. And I don't know if the recent government has made provisions or plans to take care of that situation. What is UPND planning to do about that?
Yeah, you see, for us, we are very clear. I think I did mention in my earlier remarks that we need to produce electricity. And there are many sources of electricity. There is hydro. We haven't even utilized half the hydro potential of this country. Hydroelectricity remains one of the cleanest sources of energy, right? We have not tapped it fully. It's got tremendous potential. There are lots and lots of waterfalls in Northern Province and Eastern Province that have already not even been tapped. You have the Kabompo River, which is one of the deepest rivers in the world. You don't even need to dam it. You just need to create bypass panels to generate hydroelectricity. But beyond that, see, we are aware that there's, of course, climate change. Rain patterns are changing. Our river basins may begin to decline. So you need to transition into other forms of energy. That is, you invest in hydro, invest in solar.
this is a country that is 24 hours of sun. I was reading an article recently where European countries are building massive solar panels in the Sahara Desert to transmit to Europe, to provide power to European countries. This is a country that has plenty of power. I mean, plenty of sunlight that can generate the required electricity. I've actually met highly skilled young people who are in this technology, and they've even told me that they can power the whole of Lusaka using solar power, and all they need is 10 hectares of land to build the panels and the transmission systems. So you see, the potential is there. The question is investment and the providing an opportunity for people, both domestic and foreign, to invest in solar power. We have wind power as well. One of the things that we haven't invested enough sufficiently is in wind power. You may recall that in the colonial days, in the years up to independence, many of the boreholes on the farms had windmills, and they were pumping water for their animals. We actually have a company in this country that produces windmills. It's an old company from the UNIP era, but it's not been utilized. Precisely, again, because there has been no concerted policy directive to generate wind power, to generate solar power. In Chikwanda's budget speech in the last budget, all he did was to point to reductions in import duty on solar panels. We need to move beyond import duty on solar panels. We need to move towards production of solar equipment, because it's massively in need. You like to be surprised how much solar is being used by people around, either to light up their little houses in some of the compounds, to generate power to charge their phones. A lot of contraptions in solar technology are actually in the country. But what we need now is a deliberate policy to systematically invest in it, and not just invest, produce, so that we have an alternative power supply source, no longer dependent per se on hydroelectricity. So it's an important part, and we need to invest in that. And the United Party for National Development has a clear commitment to investing in alternative sources of power apart from just hydro. That's a commitment we have, and a matter of putting the resources and the planning system in place to achieve that. So that is my response to that question.
Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you, Dr. Ben. Thank you.
Well said. Let me go to Seattle. My good brother here, Rasam. Please go ahead with your comment or your question.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Varojan. Dr. Biane, I've got a question here. But before I ask that question, I think one of the problems that we have as developing nations is that instead of developing, we become political. In that, we say, you throw the baby along with the bathwater. When MMD came in, they threw everything that the UNIP government had put in place, even things that were good for the people. When the PF came in, they did the same thing. And I'm hoping that UPND will not do that. Even as we look at the 10-point plan, we need to look at what we have right now and see how much we can improve on that instead of starting the whole thing. My question is, some time back, I think it should have been towards the end of the MMD or the beginning of the PF era, there was news that India had donated some fiber optic lines that were supposed to run from India through Tanzania, Zambia, cut across the Indian Ocean to Tanzania through Zambia to South Africa. I thought at that point in time that, Zambia by now would be sufficient in terms of, internet connections. But we see a situation where we have our brothers, most of the companies in Zambia, we have brothers from South Africa who are coming in to do business in Zambia. What problem do we have there? And what is the UPND going to do? I know you've already addressed that. How soon will the UPND make sure that Zambia is self-sufficient in as far as, internet connection is concerned?
Yeah, thank you, Sato, for that one. But for you, PND, we're going to government starting August, right?
Yes.
We have an implementation plan. What we shall do the first 100 days, 6 months, and what shall do the next 1.5 years, out all those things that need to be done, the most immediate, the most intermediate, and the long term. Don't wait, you know, until that time comes. So, actually, as a party has already started, we are planning on how we shall implement all these ideas, you know, that we ideas. And it's quite another, you know, how people discover that. They had ideas, more money in their opinion. They had no clue how to go about it. They discovered it too, to understand precisely what they. So, very true. Let me agree with you. Yes, there's been a tendency to throw the baby with the bathwater. And I think part of the discourse, really, I think explaining that has like this is a country that has not caused generational change in politics. We have recycled the same type of people.
Yes, yes.
Same generation from Kaunda's with the same kind of thinking. So, inevitably, this.
Okay, I hope we have not lost you. It has done very well up to this end. So we hope we are okay. I'm going to check Oedney's number again. Very good discussion so far. This is Zambia Block Talk Radio, transmitting from Canada. And we are going to take a short break, and we'll see. And when we come back, if we can get him for one more time before we let him go.
Your presence. I can take it all up in a sermon. Jesus, you King of our kings and Messiah. I desire with you, I can bring down this demon. Your mercies and grace over me. And then you, every morning, I'm getting refreshed. You can and could have been taking me out because of days. I happen to be disappointed, but wait, your promise is really a truth. You don't change, and that means that you're still gonna do. When I happen to fall, pick me up if it's war.
Yeah.
Happen to rest, keep me up to be wise.
True.
Carry the cross,
true.
Knowing you rose.
Yeah.
Defeated this death, now I got to break. Lord, on the praise, I know that I must stay, because I know you done put everything that I need. That's why. My prayers in a footy.
Fly away.
Yeah, now that's more like it. I got this salvation to Christ, this submission to worship, invasion. On see now I got this in life. I ain't giving it up, and he had to come down, and his favors on me, so I'm cheating this death.
Yeah.
We are back. We have only about 15 minutes to go. We hope it will be sustained the way it did in the last 30 minutes. You were responding to Sam's question on the internet being accessible in Zambia.
Yes. So anyway, I went to talk about generational transition that UPND represents. I was trying to link that generational transition to a focus on internet facilities being upgraded. Very true. We have actually seen some cables
they dug all kinds of channels across the country, and I don't know whether it was some level of incompetence or disagreement among different players. Before long, those trenches were buried, and you have these cables now running overhead as if they're electricity cables. This country is a mess, and I don't understand what happened. So I think that it's very clear that we have to do things differently. And UPND is committed to doing things differently. We must enter the digital age. We must ensure that internet connection is one of the best. I mean, Rwanda has one of the best internet connections, one of the fastest in the world. Huh? The cabinet of Rwanda sits with the computers and they are connected. All right? And Rwanda is a country 10 times smaller than Zambia. We have 10 times a bigger resource base than Rwanda. So the missing link is a political class committed to economic transformation. That's a transformation that should bring in the digital age, that should bring in the internet connections, because I'll tell you, how can I be in government and my internet doesn't work? I mean, I can tell you that I have a Wi-Fi sitting at home that I have to persuade to connect. It's damn slow and damn frustrating. I think that you want to go through that kind of arrangement. I'm internet connected, but I'd like to see an improvement in those facilities. So for us as a government, we need to be able to have faster communications within and outside the country. And we are committed to make that transformation facility.
Well said. Let me go to Pennsylvania. Dr. Musanje in Pennsylvania. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Dr. Beyani. You being a product of
green over here, how are you?
Yeah, being a product of the diaspora, I'm very extremely happy to speak to you because you are objective and you know what we care for in the diaspora, transparency and observing the rule of law. My question, however, is different. It is, I need to find out from you what is the policy of UPND on the disabled. You have lived here. I know you. I met you in New York. You really helped me a lot in 1998. And you know about Social Security, how they use it in America to take care of people who are disabled. As a caring government, what is the policy for UPND?
Yes, actually, it's my family who have been there. We have managed to for quite a while. I think that is highly, highly informative.
Dr. Brian, if you are speaking, we can barely hear you right now. But I think the time we've had with you has been very good. We only discussed 3 points today, Dr. Bayani. We may be knocking back in 2 weeks' time so that we can do another three. Maybe before the end of the month, we can finish the 10-point plan. Again, like I said to our listeners, you've been elaborate, explaining. So if we rushed through, that wasn't going to be very, very helpful to us. But I would like to ask our delegation leader, who is Msokotwane, to just give a word of thanks. Again, our telecommunication, we are still dealing with, I don't know how old our telecommunication is, but things cannot work as we planned. Msokotwane, thank you, our guest today, Dr. Bayani, and we hope to call him back. Maybe we can fix our lines then.
Sure, Mr. Chan. Dr. Bayani, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for spending your time. I know you could be doing so many different things, but you decided to spend an hour with us today. You see, as I said before, you always cannot believe things you see on Facebook, things you see on Twitter. Sometimes you really have to hear from the person's mouth of what our party is trying to do. So we really thank you for this day, and thank you for coming to our programs. And may God bless you. And we'll be calling up on you again. Thank you so much, and have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good night, you too. Okay, so that was bye-bye. That was our guest in Kasiwe, ladies and gentlemen. The lines can be this bad. He says he's even surprised that we went on this long without the lines getting cut. This is 21st century, being driven by the internet, Basam, and everyone else. And we are where we are here today. Let me, 10 minutes, we can, I've forgotten his name. Dr. Monsanje, that was a very pertinent question, which most of us, I think, we take for granted. When we see the delivery of services to the disabled, here in the United States, in Canada, their roadways, how they make the walkways, their transport system, which is made, the buses. These are things people don't even think about back home, Dr. Monsanje. I think they do. Let me know not to generalize. They do, but we are not seeing a lot of investment, or when a 10-point plan is put together, people address matters of disability. So thank you for bringing that question, Dr. Monsanje.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Vasam, your reflection on our discussion today?
I think it was a good discussion. We were just beginning to get into it, and all the questions that we asked, I think, were all pointed. I just want to thank the chairman and our information secretary that we had this opportunity. Now, Varunji, I wanted to ask, are we recording this? Do you think the recording will be better than what we had live?
No, the recording cannot be any different from what we had live. The only difference is that we can go to the recording and take away the parts which we think are not any helpful and reload the edited one so that we don't have these gaps where people
and when is that going to be ready, because I need that recording.
Okay, what you can do, Sam, you are an IT person. If you went to my Facebook, you are going to find this thing already there. You can download it.
Okay.
Yeah, can download it right away.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Okay. Area code 204, last phone number 7680. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm in Manitoba here. And Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, Brother Wes.
Okay, okay. Yes, yes, this is Wes.
Yes,
so,
yes,
anyway, my, you know, I had a question for Dr. Ben, but he's not here. Now, maybe just another comment that I was
going
to make.
I can still hear you.
Okay, maybe another comment. Another comment I was going to make regarding, you know, like the internet, and I think we have to be careful as a developing country to confuse internet and development. So I think sometimes we get the perception that we need to move towards digital because the developed countries have moved towards that. But actually, we have more pressing issues as a developing country that we need to focus on, and internet is not necessarily one of them. You know,
I beg to disagree, Brother Wes. Really beg to disagree. I heard even there are some articles I can probably send to you. This was a discussion, the Africa Forum, which they had in Rwanda. What some people are confusing the internet to is how I go on Facebook. The digital revolution, how I go on Facebook, and I'm sending information on Facebook, chatting with my friends, as that being the internet. But we are talking about the internet where, Wes, you have an office here. You are able, instead of our children seated in Kalabo without a teacher for 2 weeks because the teacher has gone to Mungu to get paid, we can
attend to
education 100% while you are here in Winnipeg. That's what the internet revolution
is
saying. Actually, people are saying these two cannot be confused with infrastructure, a road and other stuff and schools, then the internet. No. Internet is the 21st century currency. If we take that mindset and say internet will come later when we are developed, internet is a development, Brother Wes. Internet is a development. I could be wrong.
No, I understand what you're saying. I think absolutely, and you're right. You know, I agree with you. But I think that there are things like jobs, there are things like quality healthcare, there are things like access to clean water, to food, and all those things, you know. Those things need, like, it's an urgency, they need to be addressed now, yesterday.
Okay. Again,
doesn't make sense?
I wouldn't say it didn't make sense. All I would say is if you do a lot of research, they are saying internet is bringing jobs up to even 20% of jobs. If you put internet today in a nation, you are guaranteed a five to 10% growth in jobs. Just allowing the internet will give
people also lose jobs.
Okay, let me go to 214 That's phone number 0752 Good afternoon,
Rogers. Good afternoon, Bwana Rogers. This is Mwene. I'm okay. How are you, my brother?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm drowning in so many questions here. So, and
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I was having direction that we should go with a 10-point plan, but I thought that wasn't going to be very productive for us just to run through the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. He was taking time to explain, and, you know, our connection was tricky. But the man had a lot of good things to say. But anyway, you can say what is in your mind. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, maybe we can sort of arrange that we bring the man back, because I think my major questions revolved on the principles of managing a country. Number one, I wanted him to reassure us in the diaspora that we are all stakeholders in the running of that country, because that's something that our leaders haven't done much to harness knowledge outside. Number two, there's two things in terms of running policies in the country, economic policies that are viable and good for the country. Management and mismanagement, two keywords.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, we've seen that when you talk of mismanagement, that is exactly the difference between success and failure.
Yes.
Zambia has
yes.
got a lot of resources, a lot of resources, but
that was
it
a
boils
big point.
Down into mm-hmm. yes, into management and mismanagement. We've seen how countries, you know, operate in this country. One classic example is Enron. Not that Enron didn't have the wealth and the material that company had, but it failed because of mismanagement. So that's the problem we have in Zambia. And we've had every year the Auditor General's office, they've got all these audits, and they basically audit each ministry to the last iota, to the last drop of the penny. But these reports, they come in government, nothing happens. So I wanted him to comment how we are going to move from that idea of prudent management of resources,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
that's where it is. I mean, you talk about all these things, you know, bringing investors,
okay.
doing what... As
let me
as
cut you short
know,
there. I had Ali Mamwene. I had arranged for 90 minutes, and now the system is just about to shut down. But
all
let's
right.
do this
all
even
right.
next week, same time. I am hoping to just start a whole different segment for Sundays, whether we have a guest or not. We are going to be doing this on Sunday. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in. Let's do this next Sunday. Join us on Saturdays as well. My name is Roger here on Oko Talks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Things are moving well.
But we haven't been seeing you around the airport. Why aren't you coming these days?
To the airport.
Mm.
Kylie, I have no communication with you, so how do I do it?
I see. But how's everything going? How are the preparations going?
The preparation is going well. I have a permit from the police. I've been moving to register MPs within Lusaka province. I've been welcomed more than necessary. Wherever I go, they are lifting up with students. You know, I'm now commanding for 12 million support countrywide.
Wow, that's beautiful. And how's the 50+1 going for you?
Are you not
President Mujokela? Goodbye, everyone. Have a good weekend. A good work week.
Wabakwati mesi bululu Eicho mwila wale kelesha Vamirishe benchi bululu If you have a hater sometimes Afipanga sensi bululu Ni semu semu fie kuluku Wile kumulwa ni akwika lepanza Sadidi ya ule ya pamulu Bululu Wivaleka wakusa kengo uline fiumbu Bululu Wifisa makwate shushushu Nomba walange uliguju Tata wandini mfumulelo Automatically becomes yours. Tell your neighbor that you are blessed and highly favored. Ninsa Baila Ninsan, excuse my behavior. Your misfortunes are the wrong. sangalala like you supposed to mwanile.
Go ahead, goodbye.